The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, glad you can be with us here on a Monday morning, SB Nation Radio and SB Nation AM. Tony D and Ron Culver. I don't know if you've been watching the Combine this weekend. I've been catching it back and forth, but what I like is the analysis and the news because nobody really knows anything yet. It's a convention of general managers. They can't really make comments on trades or whatnot. You know, like John Elway can't, for example, talk about Joe Flacco. But they all get together and they all talk. But what you watch on the Combine, the television program, you know, being analyzed by the people that are going to make the pick. And all of a sudden, a very interesting thing is happening in Indianapolis. Kyler Murray's stock is starting to rise, so much so that there's speculation now he will be the number one overall pick in the by Arizona, which was predicted by a lot of people based on what Cliff Kingsbury said and all the kind of Josh Rosen to the Giants, Josh Rosen to somewhere else rumors that had been going around. All we were waiting for, we were talking about this a little bit last week, all we were waiting for was this sort of, oh, he's not as small as we thought conversations, which we ended up getting when he had his official measurement and he was 5'10 and an eighth. And all of a sudden now the conversation can be, oh, now it's okay to take Kyler Murray. Before it was too much of a risk. If he was actually 5'8, like many people thought he was, too much of a risk. Oh, but now that he's 5'9, hey, now we're talking. Now we're talking maybe top overall pick in the draft. Just an interesting development. We still have a few weeks left. We'll still have pro days by teams. We'll still have conversations and interviews. And there'll be more analysis, of course, because we are a good little chunk away from the draft at the end of April. But just remember, the combine is where this kind of stuff starts to brew. And whether or not reporters are throwing darts at a wall to see if they stick, or there's real conversation that these guys are uncovering, covering the combine in Indianapolis, is we'll wait to be seen. One other development, barring any sort of entanglement, Nick Foles is likely on his way to Jacksonville. And let's see if the Jags actually become a contender. But coming up, let's go back to Kyler Murray for a second and the possible money that he may left off on the table with baseball. Now that Bryce Harper is signed for a boatload of money over 13 years, did Murray make a monetary mistake? We'll talk about that next. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us here on a Monday morning. Hope your weekend went well. Ron, did your weekend go well? Did you watch any AAF this weekend? I did not. Again, I'm losing interest in the AAF. I got to get back into it. The production value is very good on the network broadcast. But did you watch any of the our new favorite football league?
No, I missed missed most of it.
I was going to say, I'll ask you later. Where were you? I was out there on an island asking if you knew they watched the Fair American Football League.
No, I missed most of it, though. I tried watching it, but I couldn't get around to it.
I didn't either, and that makes me sad because I was really hoping this league would make it, but I'm not participating in its success. You know what I will say? The one thing that I like about this league, and I've been kind of following the Orlando Apollos, is that Steve Spurrier seems to be having a really, really fun time with this league. And that's what I like. I mean, he's having fun. He seems to be, energized. He's taking some fun shots at, Tennessee and his college opponents do these. But you know what? That's kind of what this league needs. Other than that, I saw it yesterday, but I hate to admit this because I want this league to succeed. It was on, but I went to go look for something else. I wanted to find something else, and I should have been gravitating towards this. And it was like last night, and I didn't really want to watch it.
No, maybe it's NFL or football burnout. Like, we watch so much of it during the fall, NFL, college, it just consumes our weekends. And now I'm at that point where it's like, yeah, you know what? I forgot. I have my family's here.
The success of the football league, though, is dependent on you not having football burnout. The success of this league is entirely on the premise that, like what you said, my family's here, that doesn't exist, that you are still looking to consume a product and you want to, like, whether you choose to watch late season college basketball or NBA as it heads into kind of a stretch run in March or anything else, that you still will be in that will be one of your options. Whether, NASCAR, golf, whatever was occupying people's time, that the AAF would take over that spot. If we are at a point where we have football burnout, the league can't survive. It won't be able to make it. And maybe it comes too quickly. Like, there would be two schools of thought in the marketing department, right? It would be, do we extend this out so we start the season in April and become more of a spring summer league and give people a little breather? Or do we go right after the Super Bowl where people have football on their mind and are hot? I can see both working, but I also can see both failing. That's the problem with this league, as I don't know where it's at.
I think it's also, we pay so much attention to football, and I always make the joke that the NBA season hasn't started yet when it has, or I say, college basketball season hasn't started yet, even though it has. And now I feel like, it's your turn. I should start paying attention to the NBA. I should start paying attention to college basketball because now we're getting to the fun part of their season.
And so college basketball is getting really interesting because like there are bubble teams now that are really starting to have to make a statement and in order to make a presence. Like Indiana had a big upset over Michigan State over the weekend. That's their second straight upset win. They have not had a good season, and they are a bubble team if you're going to define a bubble team. But now there's an interesting conversation about the Hoosiers, right? I mean, they're about whether or not they belong into the tournament. I think they're like 15-10. But they don't have a very good Big Ten record, but all of a sudden they're coming on and playing, playing well enough to upset Wisconsin and Michigan State in back-to-back games. But the problem I have with it, going back to college basketball, is college basketball sets itself up for this tournament because there's so many teams in the tournament. The conversation isn't really about Duke. It's not really about North Carolina, Kentucky, or Tennessee, or some of the top teams, Nevada, Gonzaga, and all these top teams. It's really about the mediocre teams and whether or not that they can get in. That's the conversation. Tennessee played Kentucky over the weekend, for example, and Tennessee routed them. I mean, routed them. The Volunteers have won 25 straight home games, and this was the point John Calipari made at the end of the game. He said they asked him if it would cost the Wildcats a number one seed in the tournament, and he said no, because even though we got routed, even though we shot 31% of the floor, turned the ball over, 17 times, whatever it was, that because Tennessee's won 25 straight home games, that's not going to hurt them. If your conversation piece is a marquee game in which one team that lost doesn't really suffer anything,
that's hard. It's hard to have real detailed conversation about what's going on in college basketball. Zion Williamson missed three straight games now. What is he? Is he healthy? Is he not healthy? Is he saving himself for the tournament run, the ACC tournament? What exactly is going on with Zion? That's another conversation, but that's really it, right? That's really it. The viability of teams in terms of being championship contenders. I mean, that's all college basketball has. NBA, we're talking about the Rockets have won five in a row. LeBron James and the Lakers continue to stink, right? I mean, the East is still wide open. So there's some good conversations there. But the AAF had a chance to say, yeah, but continue to talk about football. Be part of us. Be part of what we're doing. I think it's just going to take time. One thing that was noted on Twitter, which I actually agreed with, was about the football broadcasts on television. They look really good. And because they look really good and they're professionally done, it's not an amateur crew, it's not an amateur broadcast team, because they look good, that helps the league. When it's on your television and it looks good, it's a good-looking product on TV, that helps. That's going to help its growth. It just needs time. I hope it makes it. I like it. But I got to participate in it, otherwise I can't complain when it's gone.
No, and that's what I feel bad about. It's like, is it going to be one of those things where, you know, I watched the first weekend, was, oh my God, this is fantastic. Am I just going to jump back in week 10? You know, yeah, it's like, right? Oh, yeah, let's see what's going on. Hey, look, you know, this team's in the playoffs. That team's, you know, we're going into championship time. And it's just so hard to, it's hard to fit it in right now. And I think that's part of the problem is that we're like, I'm a creature of habit. You know, this is the time that you reserve for the other sports that you ignore all year.
And where does fandom come from? And that's a real, this is an interesting point. I tried a few years ago, and I know you're a big soccer guy. I tried really hard to get into the Premier League, right? I really wanted to. It was, it was at a time where I was like, I could really like this sport. I could like it. So I chose a team. I chose Liverpool, right? A friend of mine suggested I choose Liverpool. I chose Liverpool.
It's a good choice.
There was a Fox Sports had like a reality show on Liverpool, and they said, watch that. Like, if you tape it, watch that. So I did. I got familiar with the team, Steven Gerrard, right? I got to know that they sing the Never Walk Alone song at the end of the games, matches. I mean, and then I would follow them, and I followed them. But here was the problem. It didn't hurt when they lost. It didn't hurt when they lost. Like, I didn't feel like a sense of urgency. And I want to know, where does that come from? Like, why is it that even at my age, as long as I've rooted for the Steelers since I was like 6 years old, why do Steelers seasons bother me so much when they don't go the right way? Why do I get worried that they don't make the postseason? When I watch my other teams, why does it affect me the way it does? You bring a new league in and you say to people in San Diego, get behind the fleet. Okay, they can get behind the fleet, but you need to attach it to some sort of passion. It needs to hurt a little bit when they lose. You need to be really overly excited, almost to non-explainable levels when they win. And because you don't do that right away, it's hard to sort of build a fan base. It's hard to get people. They just come for the entertainment, not necessarily because they're supporting you. And that it's hard to generate with a new thing. Listen, I'd love to root for one of these teams and really feel like a playoff push. I really want it, but that's going to become artificial. I need something to kick it, you know, because every one of the teams I've rooted for are all pretty much measured in my youth, rather than as an adult, like saying, I'm going to root for this team and I'm going to be affected by it. When I moved to Colorado, I sort of liked the Nuggets. I liked the Avalanche. But I wasn't an Uber fan. It didn't bother me if they won or lost so much. I mean, I covered them and I liked them as an organization, but it didn't affect me the way the teams I rooted for affect me. And so when I watch these AAF games, I'm watching it just for entertainment. I'm not watching it for any value other than what I'm seeing on the field. It doesn't affect standings or playoff hopes or anything like that.
Well, I think the other part of the problem too is that, I mean, we don't know a lot. We know some of these players. We don't know a lot of these players, but it's kind of hard to rationalize investing your time into getting to know some of these players.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, we know that once they make it to the NFL, you know, for the most part, they're there for at least 2, 3, 4 years. And every once in a while, you know, you'll have like a Tom Brady who just stands out and is there. You know, I mean, he was there when the Patriots were founded, correct?
You're right. You know? From the very beginning.
I mean, it's just him and Belichick. They've been from the very get-go. It's just been those
from
two.
From the get-go.
So yeah. That part of it, too, is kind of hard to sit there and go, okay, you know, I know Trent Richardson as a player, is he, I mean, sure, he's having a breakout year or he's playing decent. I don't even know how well he's doing this year. I just know he plays and he's having, he had a couple of good games here and there. But is that worth my time to like to reinvest my fandom back into, or put my hopes in that Trent Richardson can make it as a football player again?
Yeah, exactly. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, also Ron Culver. You can catch him at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, your conversation. I want to get back to the Kyler Murray situation, because with Bryce Harper's money, did Kyler Murray make a smart decision? And I'll give you my thoughts on this, because at first, you may say, no, if he's a first-round pick, but let's think about the mindset of a 21-year-old that's coming up on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, don't take a chance on being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so Kyler Murray likely is going to be a top 10 pick in the draft, right? Likely. Who knows? He could be the number one overall pick in the draft. This is going to result in a lot of money immediately. Once he gets through his rookie deal and all of that and everything, he's going to be making, could be making $20+ million a year. Okay, Kyler Murray made the football decision, I think, and I believe, I'm not really in his head, I don't think it's a monetary decision. All right, I think the reason that Kyler Murray chose football over baseball is I think when you are the quarterback at Oklahoma, there's a level of excitement to that position that is unlike anything else. All right, when you're a top quarterback in this country on a top rated team in this country, it's like no other position in amateur sports. Okay, I don't care I think it's even bigger than being a leading scorer on a major basketball team, let's say at Duke or Kentucky. I think it's just, we are so football cultured in this country that if you're a starting quarterback at a playoff team, especially a state that has passionate fans like Oklahoma, it is hard to let that go. It is hard to let that go and go into minor league baseball to work your way up to try to obtain that monetary amount. I think this was a passion play. I think he wanted to choose football because that's where his heart lies. But people have been looking at this Bryce Harper deal and sort of equating it to where Kyler Murray is in terms of his decision. Because Bryce Harper is going, at 26 years old, is just signed a 13-year deal with the Philadelphia Phillies that'll pay him, around $25, $26, $20 million a year for the next 13 years. You don't get that in the National Football League. You don't get a guaranteed 13-year contract that's going to pay you over $20 million a year. You get it in little bits at a time, right? Because you are going to be productive for this amount of time, and then when you're done with that, we'll see exactly where you stand after this. You don't get that kind of guaranteed money. You can get the $20+ million, the close to $30 million, playing the position of quarterback, because very few people can do it. But if you are a Major League Baseball player on the level of Manny Machado, a level of Bryce Harper, a level of Zach Greinke, you can make $30 million a year playing your sport. Now, people have looked at this and said, okay, wait. If you compare Kyler Murray to Bryce Harper, that's kind of insane. Bryce Harper is a fantastic baseball player, has proven that he's a fantastic baseball player, and in essence earned this contract by being an MVP, by being a multi all-star since arriving on the scene at a young age. But I'm looking at it not from that, but from the mindset of a 21-year-old kid in Kyler Murray. And I don't use that term lightly. I don't want to put him down by saying kid, but he's still a very, very young man. Does Kyler Murray have the self-awareness that he could never be a Bryce Harper? Because I don't know if he can or not. He might be. He could be. We'll probably never know. But does he in his mind think he could be the next Bryce Harper? Because let's say he does. Let's say he believes in himself a lot, And he thinks that if he played Major League Baseball, he would be a megastar, a megastar. Then financially, this is the wrong decision to play football. Even if you're a good football player, you're never going to receive the kind of money playing in the NFL that these Major League Baseball players get. $330 million, and that's not his first deal. Find NFL players who have had long careers, who have made over $300 million in their entire career, every contract. And Bryce Harper gets that after spending a number of years already in the league. Manny Machado, the same thing. They've already earned millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. This is in addition to what they've already earned, not in totality of what they've earned in their career. Think about that for a second. Bryce Harper is already making very good money and has just added on a 13-year guaranteed contract on top of what he's already made. You don't get that in the National Football League. That was the main argument, longevity. Now, let's say Kyler Murray goes to Major League Baseball and becomes a mediocre player, average player, run-of-the-mill player. Good. Don't kick him out of the league. Might trade him. But he's not, you know, maybe an all-star every now and then. May put up a good season every now and then. Then he's made the right decision by going to football. But I'm not looking at that because I'm not trying to predict the future. I'm just thinking about what he believes in himself. Does he believe that he could be a superstar in both? I mean, I'm not talking just a good player. I'm talking a superstar in both. Because if he could be a megastar in baseball, financially he didn't do this. He didn't make it. That's why I believe that he made this decision to play football, because it's in his heart, and also because, man, it's hard to give up being a starting quarterback at a major, major program now slash team and organization. Imagine your life at the University of Oklahoma as a starting quarterback. And then you go and then you decide, I'm going to give this away. I'm not going to take this experience to the next level. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go play minor league baseball, ride the bus for a little bit, and then hopefully, maybe, I will try to make it into a point where I will convince people to pay me a lot of money. In the NFL, he goes to the combine. He does the workouts. He has a pro day. Somebody takes him. He then gets to be on the field. Whether he starts or not right away, it doesn't matter. He'll still have the sort of buzz. Remember, Baker Mayfield wasn't tabbed the starter immediately, and he was setting Cleveland on fire. People couldn't wait for Mayfield to get to town and take over that team. Murray is going to do the same thing. Now, maybe if they draft him at Arizona, he starts right away, of course. But the reality of it is he's going to get what he had at Oklahoma on that same kind of level. And that's really difficult to get rid of. So monetarily, if you do the math, no. If you believe that you could be a superstar baseball player, no. He didn't make the right decision. As a matter of fact, he made a decision that is not going to produce the same kind of money. But if he did it by the fact that he just loves it and he likes what a quarterback means and being a quarterback and playing that position where it has tremendous value, then he made the right decision. I mean, again, you can NFL players, unfortunately, and a lot of it is because the amount of players that are on a team and just basically how their collective bargaining worked out, they get the bottom end of the stick when it comes to these contracts. You know, guaranteed money is all that matters, right? That's the contract length doesn't even matter. Guys who sign deals oftentimes get told that they have to be cut or released for financial concerns. Whereas I can imagine being an NFL player and looking at a Bryce Harper contract at 26 years old going, wow, they're going to pay him $25 million a season for the next 13 years. Or Manny Machado, they're going to pay him $30 million for the next 10, for the next decade. NBA contracts are built the same way. Must drive NFL players nuts to look at that and to realize that their contract, that the only guaranteed money that they get is what is in the guarantee. And everything else is subject to something later. So maybe, this is the other thing I was thinking about. Maybe Kyler Murray knows something about his baseball ability and believes that the football ability is much better and is more lucrative. I'm not saying he thinks he stinks at baseball. Obviously, he doesn't think he stinks at baseball. I mean, he was drafted 9th overall, for crying out loud. But I also wonder if he says, you know what? I know myself, and I'm better at this than that. Even though I'm very good at that, I'm better at this. I mean, most of you feel the same. Most of you could probably think about 100 things that you're good at and some things that you're okay at, probably could be better, but you get by. Maybe fixing plumbing around the house or something like that, where you're like, I'm not exactly the best at this, but I'm good. He might think himself very good baseball player, but, you know, at football, I'm better, and that's where I'm heading. The Bryce Harper deal is, the more I think about this, the more I've been processing this, the more I've been wondering how in the world Scott Boras did not convince Harper to take the $180 million deal on the table for 4 years from the Dodgers. How did Harper, at 26 years old, not want to go out and say, you know what, I will hit free agency again at 30, because I think I'll be just as good at 30 as I am now. Interesting that he went the long term. It's still fascinating. All right, coming up, I want to get to an old college football story concerning Southern Miss and Art Briles. That's coming up next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
As we get rolling along on a Monday morning, glad you can be with us. Oh, remember the Southern Miss story that we did, 2 weeks ago, I want to say?
Yeah, not long enough.
Where Jay Hobson wanted to hire Art Briles to be his offensive coordinator for the Golden Eagles, and he didn't really clear it with the school first.
Yeah, you and I believe we were all on board with, right?
Yeah, right. Yep, exactly.
No, we weren't. We thought it was stupid.
And not only that, so did every single alumni that heard of this and bombarded the school with emails saying they would withdraw their support of their program, including financially.
That's how you stop it right there.
I'm sorry. Listen, I hate when people, adults, are in a bubble where they can't see outside the bubble, right? I don't have any respect for anybody, and I don't care what profession you're in. Maybe except for like military. I mean, because military, you really need to be in that bubble, and maybe police, because you really need to be in that bubble. But if you're just talking, you know, business, right? Regular old money making business, not really public service, you really need to look outside your own business to see how people are reading the tea leaves in terms of what you're doing, right? You have to get an understanding of where this is going. Jay Hobson tried to bring in Art Briles, and for whatever reason, never considered the fact that this was going to go over like a lead balloon. Like, never ever thought he was ever going to be in trouble for this, or no one was going to care, and that everybody just loved football so much at Southern Miss that there was just no way they'd say no to the good old ball coach. But they did.
Well, it was
They did. They were threatening to take away hundreds of thousands of dollars from the program over this.
Can you blame them?
No, I mean, of course
to me,
not.
What, you know, when you're speaking of
that wasn't
bubble,
the point. Yeah, the point is Jay Hobson, not the.
Oh, alumni. No, I know. But like, I think the bubble that you're speaking of is that Jay Hobson woke up one day saying, you know what, I'm going to be the guy that gives him a second chance, and people are going to respect what I'm doing. They're going to love what I'm doing. They're going to be all on board with what I'm doing. And that was, I think, the bubble he built around himself.
That might be right. That's right. He was probably thinking more of the fraternity rather than where he was.
Yeah.
Right. Another thing too is, look, so, like, some coaches could probably get away with that. Like, I think like there might be enough rumblings at Alabama, but if Nick Saban really put his foot down, Art Briles could probably be on his staff. But I think Saban also realizes I can play around with this only too much. Like before, hey, you know what? People are legitimately going to be concerned about what I'm doing. Hobson didn't feel that at all. And that's really no surprise. Look, look, when you're on the college level, as we all know, you got to deal with people who support the program financially, and even if it's a way you don't like, right? Even if it's a way that you're like, ugh, here comes Mike again, the car dealer down the road who donates, $500,000 to the program every now and then. And then he comes in and he wants to talk about this play or that play, or why'd you run this play? And I got a really good friend who knows a kid who knows a kid who's got a really good defensive back. And you just got to placate him for a little bit. That's kind of part of the territory. So how do you not think, I might need to be careful walking this fine line a little bit. I just need to be careful just a little bit, just to make sure. How do you not read that well enough? God, being a college coach is going to be really annoying when you really think about it. Like, being a pro coach, you can insulate yourself from that. But in college, like, especially on a level, like a lower level, it's got to get annoying, don't you think? Like, when the guys come into your office and like, hey, coach, I want you to introduce you to a couple of guys here for me. And you're like, oh, hey, crazy Eddie at the local car dealer. How you doing? I think we should run this wishbone play. I drew it up. Get a napkin. Come here. Give me a piece of paper. And they draw it up. And you have to go, oh, yeah, that, I think that might work on Saturday. Yeah, like, it just, it's not like we're playing for a conference title or anything like that. All right. Yeah, thanks. And I think you should start Michaels at quarterback. He's really good. I saw him run. He's really good. Yeah, that's not our one. Current one is doing pretty good, right? He's got a 75% completion percentage, but that's okay. I'll listen to what you have to say. That must drive you insane. But again, going back to Jay Hobson, apparently there weren't enough people around him to say, hey, don't do this. Don't bring in Art Briles, because not only you're not going to bring the Biloxi Sun, I think was the paper that went and got the emails, because the emails are public, because it's a public university. Yeah. So these emails are public, so you can go get them. And I think the Biloxi Sun went and got them and said, like, let's look at the emails from all the people that are emailing the university. And there was a zillion of them.
I'd say, okay, I'm gonna counter that argument just with this. I don't think he reached out to anybody or solicited anyone's help.
That might have been the case. He might have just said, I'll see if I can slip this one under the radar.
He just woke up one day and was just like, you know what? You know who could help out our program? And didn't think of anybody's input. I mean, didn't even ask for anyone's input and just said, I'm just going to run with this.
That's probably
because he probably did that with other assistants. He probably, got his defensive back coach. He probably just went out and hired someone, and the university a month later said, oh, yeah, we approve that.
I got a quick question. Like, was there anybody like in his coaching fraternity that pushed him to do it? Like, did anybody another head coach goes, hey, man, Art needs a gig. I'd give him a gig, but I can't. But you're looking for an offensive coordinator. Can you give Art a job? Probably not, right?
No, I can't think of anyone finding a rational reason to hire him, because
listen, so this seriously came in his own brain.
Listen, I mean, the guy is tainted. He went to Canada, was offered a job in Canada within like what, a minute?
they told him to get lost.
They told him to get lost. His son received backlash when he got hired here at the University of Houston.
That's right. And he was just an assistant at Baylor and maybe wasn't part of any of this stuff.
But he has that Briles last name. It's like, oh, yeah, we can't touch that guy.
So funny, too, because it's wasn't he supposed to? I thought Art Briles was going to coach in Italy, like American football in Italy somewhere.
It's probably the only place he can go. You know what? China, there's been rumors that China's going to start an NFL league. That's where he needs to go.
Yeah, that's probably where he needs to go. Is that true? Is China starting a football league?
That was a rumor.
That was a rumor?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know who started it.
God.
But, I mean, I can't think of a place where he can go right now where he can coach.
I can't either. I just can't. It doesn't feel like it makes any fit. And I don't know when it's good enough for him to do it. Right. Like it doesn't feel like he can in the near future or in the middle future, maybe 8 or 9 years down the road, but he might be too old to even be up for that.
Exactly. Like
this may never pass for him.
And listen, I mean, you know what? He got a great buyout. He is filthy, stinking rich. He doesn't need to work. I mean, you know, I know, you know, we all have that competitive spirit, and that just doesn't go away. And that's why he's wanting to get back out there, is just because he misses that competitiveness. But, I mean, you know what, dude, it's over. Find a new job, find a new hobby. You know, maybe I don't even think he could be an analyst. I was trying to rationalize that in my head. I can't picture CBS or, you know, the ESPN wanting to bring him on as an analyst, because there'd be backlash with that. Like, oh, what's he going to teach? You know, what's he going to talk about, you know, analyze with the boys out there?
And the one thing that I think that this, again, going back to what I was saying before, it you get so football oriented, like he wasn't thinking about anything other than trying to give this guy a second chance for whatever reason. However he's connected to him, he wanted to give Art Briles a second chance. But if he really stepped out of the football coaching bubble for a second, he would say, okay, I want to give Art Briles a second chance, but okay, is the fan base going to accept this? Not likely. Are donors going to accept this? Unlikely. Are fans just who don't pay $500,000 a year to the school, are they going to accept this? No. What about my school president? How is he going with this guy on campus, on my staff, when he's hearing from parents of girls who go to school here? How is that going to look? Okay, you know what? This is too problematic. I can't bring him aboard. Instead, he just lives in this coaching bubble where people like Art Briles get second chances all the time, or used to get chances all the time, and now don't. And he's not outside that realm. He's not outside that realm. To him, yes, the crime is more egregious than what, like, Steve Sarkisian went through, being, you know, having an addiction to alcohol or other, you know, all of those things. But he sees a coaching profession that gives second chances all the time. This is more egregious, but maybe in Hobson's mind, he didn't see it that way. He just sees that you just give coaches second chances. That's what we've always done. And that's what I mean by not being inside the bubble, right? Not being outside the bubble and looking and saying, yeah, this is probably going to stink. This is probably going to be bad. So yeah, it's just, I don't know.
I'm just blown away. I'm just blown away that this, you know, this thought process, even, you know, I mean, yeah, in hindsight, you check with one of your assistants, check with someone on your staff.
Have some reality.
Run it by your drinking buddy, you know, say, hey, what do you think of this?
Where's your Jiminy Cricket, right? Exactly. Where's your Jiminy Cricket going? Hey, you can't hire Art Briles. Why not, Jiminy Cricket? Because he covered up rape. Oh, shoot. You're right. You're absolutely right. You know what? I can't. Thank you, Jiminy Cricket. And just leave it at that.
And it's not just the fact that he covered up a rape. He covered up a culture.
Culture. A culture. Forget, yes, it wasn't one time. It was an entire slew of incidents that should keep him out of the sport forever. God.
I mean, it might be easier to forgive someone if it was a one-time thing, a one-off, and he covered it up. Right. You know, it's like, okay, you know what? You made a mistake. There was that one time. But, I mean, this went on for years, and it was just...
Yes!
It was like just a culture that was going on at Baylor. And to the point right now where Baylor, it's synonymous with sexual assault.
Exactly.
And the two go hand in hand, and that's unfair for the university. But, hey, that's what we think of it right now.
All right, coming up next, a feel-good story, okay? Because last week we talked about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar selling memorabilia. I'll tell you how much it went for, and it went for a lot. That's next on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way for a seamless mortgage experience. Seamless. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, last week we told you the story that he was putting up his memorabilia for auction to raise money for his Skyhook Foundation that helps kids. Very noble of Kareem to do so. I thought it was a little creepy to own somebody's championship rings, but if you buy them at an auction, it's not so creepy. I'm just talking about, like, if you see one at a pawn shop because your favorite athlete, like, went belly up and broke and needed the money, and then you're like, oh, look, a Super Bowl ring from my favorite player, my favorite team, I'll buy that. I think it's kind of creepy. If you buy it to give back to the player, that's kind of cool if you use your funds that way. But I don't know. Owning somebody else's championship ring seems a little weird to me, but in this case, it actually was a good thing. He sold a whole bunch of memorabilia. He had 234 pieces that he put up for auction. That
How much?
234 pieces.
My God, I would definitely sell that stuff then if I had that much.
Yeah, exactly. Championship rings from the 80s were amongst them. He had autographed basketball, just a whole bunch of things that he had. I mean, the list is pretty wild. But guess how much he raised for the fund?
I'm going to say maybe just shy of a million.
$3 million.
Wow.
Bucks.
All right.
$3 million bucks. The 85 championship ring against Boston, that was the one of the highest bids at $343,000. His 1987 ring was the highest at $398,000. He almost got $400,000 for his 87 ring and nearly $350,000 for his 85 ring. That's pretty wild.
Bought by Boston fans who are going to burn it now.
Yeah, right. He put, like I said last week, a Horcrux from Harry Potter, just stab
exactly.
it. All of a sudden, the soul of the Lakers comes pouring out.
Ah! Well, Tony, that has already happened. So don't worry about that, Boston
that's
fan.
Exactly right. Here's another one. An autographed basketball from his final regular season NBA game. That's actually cool. Now, that's something you should own.
That's something
the basketball
you should keep.
From his the basketball from your final NBA game sold for $270,000. He also sold his MVP trophies. Now, would you want to own that? MVP trophies?
I guess.
Definitely,
I mean,
if I owned an MVP trophy, I definitely didn't earn that.
Exactly.
to
I mean,
sit on my mantle.
I'm just surprised. I mean, when do you want to keep one? Like, well, I guess maybe did you keep him the first one? I hope he kept some of his stuff. I mean, that sounds.
I don't know, 230 something.
Man, like. I know he did a lot of great things, but 230 pieces, that sounds like. Everything he ever accomplished,
that
and he's just like,
the same
I don't
thing.
Need it.
Doesn't, and again, we talked about this last week. Doesn't Kareem seem to be the more spiritual type? Like, this stuff is not really valuable
to
him.
Yeah, he's probably sitting there, like, can't take it with you.
Yeah, probably like on another level of Zen, right? He's just like, man, this is just material. The real truth is in the spirit. He is helping kids. So, you know what? If you want to collect this kind of stuff and then use it to raise $3 million to help kids in your foundation, God bless you.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. So, good for him. Just little kudos to Kareem. That was a very well done thing. I never really was a big Kareem fan as a player, but I am as a man. That's pretty good. Good job, Kareem. All right, it's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio on a Monday at a busy weekend in sports. And we'll get right to it coming up on SB Nation Radio.